show called Mike's Daily Podcast.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Here we go, part two. It's one of those days where we were doing something and the computer decided
Mike's Daily Podcast
to change its mind and not do what it was supposed to do. Hello, I'm Mike Matthews here at Cafe Anyway, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth, the land of Maritopica, full of mirth, 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 mirth. Hey, and we're broadcasting from Cafe Anyway. Hits right in the land of Maritopica. You say, Mike, what are you singing about? These are all things. Do you remember the group The Fray? How to save a life. How to save a life.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Everyone's in over my head. Over my head with
Mike's
left in overtime.
Daily.
It's on your mind.
Podcast.
It's on your mind.
Yeah.
That song. It's FF episode 3172, 3172. I am happy to bring you this podcast. You will maybe hear it on Friday, maybe Saturday, perhaps Sunday. I don't know, but we'll release it on Friday. And there are things going on in the world. On Wednesday, I took a day off. I had to disconnect from... Well, I still did a podcast, but I disconnected. I didn't do work. I wasn't working. And my lovely lady friend and I went to Rockridge, which is over there somewhere near Berkeley. And we walked around and met some of the nicest people. We went to this place that served coffee and chocolate and had chocolate from all over the world. And I don't remember the name, but we were helped by the nicest people. So nice and diverse, interesting people. One of them had an accent. We couldn't quite figure out where she might have originally grown up or been born or what have you. And someone else had some physical challenges to deal with and was dealing with them perfectly. As we all do in life, we have things we have to deal with and try to deal with in the best way we can. You know what is, however...
And here's today's podcast picture.
Something that will hinder you quite a bit is gambling. I strongly suggest don't get into that. My dad, he basically demonstrated to me why you should not do the gambling. But the podcast picture doesn't have to do with gambling. It has to do with the beautiful place that is over there... up not too far away from me, maybe about an hour drive, Martinez, right there on the water, and across the strait, the Carquinez Strait from Benicia. And the late great Basil the Boxer and I went there many, many times and walked around. And this particular day that I was there, I brought myself a little picnic. This was pretty recent. See that picture at mikesdailypodcast.com. All the podcast pictures there at mikesdailypodcast.com. Go there. I pay for it. You don't have to pay for anything. You just go on there and you can click on all kinds of stuff. See me, see Basil, see all the podcast players, the Cafe Anyway characters, see all the cool places around the Bay Area and other interesting places I've been to, and lots and lots and lots of podcasts there. 3,172. Should be all there at mikesdailypodcast.com. Yes, quite a project that I have done over the past several years. So, I didn't even know what a sports book was.
Ain't life grand?
Ain't it grand? So grand. The
grand
world in which we live in some respects when you can walk your dog and have a nice walk and enjoy the view. I don't understand why people do the gambling like a sports book. I didn't know. I had to look it up. A sports book is a venue or a platform where individuals can place bets on various sporting events. It can be a physical location. Now, this is what I'm talking about. I know the whole online thing. Yeah. All right. But the physical location, that is what's interesting. Now, my mom was, when I went to visit her, I think about 8 years ago when she was in Florida. Well, She was in Florida until she passed away, sadly, 3 years ago. But she had been there, I think she lived there 20 years in all together. But one of the times I visited, she said, "We're going to go see Greyhound racing. Oh, you mean buses? They're racing each other? No, dogs, dummy. No, she never called me dummy. She was a great mom. So we went. We both love dogs. And I went to this place with her to see the... And she said, and they treat the dogs so nicely, so well. She made sure I knew that, being that she knows I love dogs so much. And, of course, Basil and everything. But she said, look, go over there and they show you...
News random.
This is news random. They take you... You can go and see the dogs before the race. And you go into this room and you see the dog handlers and they're all young people. And the dogs are all sniffing each other and all excited because they're about to do this race. Okay, well, since then, that dog racing place closed. When I went back, probably 2021, I noticed it was gone. So I guess, I don't know what they were doing. Hopefully they were treating the dogs well. But I do know when we walked into the place, to the dog racing place, there was a sports book, a big area where you could gamble. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is crazy. What is this? I didn't actually go in there, into the room, but there were people in there smoking, gambling. And this is all in Daytona Beach, Florida, is where this was. Well, the internet, well, like the video killed the radio star. And video
Mike Scavenger Hunt.
I also find here that YouTube killed the podcast star. The video podcaster star killed the audio podcaster star, if that makes any sense. Just now, podcasts, they're called podcasts, I find, on YouTube, but they're actually, those are just video shows. Those are TV, wannabe TV shows, but they call them podcasts, but they're not podcasts. Podcast is an audio thing. It started off as an audio thing. It's like a radio show you're listening to that was recorded by people. And now it's all about video. People want to do that thing. And I guess you can see me now. I got one person watching me here on twitch.tv. And there's a link there at mikesdailypodcast.com or go to twitch.tv/mikepodcast. As we go outside a cafe anyway, where we bring you Mike's Daily Podcast somewhere in Podcaster Valley.
For your entertainment.
Who?
The one.
What?
The only.
The?
Mike Matthews.
Show. The last place on earth here in the land of Ameritopica. Broadcasting to you from Cafe Anyway. Thank you. So, internet has killed the in-person sports books, these places. In-person sports books are no longer a safe bet. A number of sports books have shuttered. This in the Phoenix area, Progressive Field, Audi Field, Churchill Downs, all closing down in the past year. 38 states offer legal online sports betting. That's what's causing it. And they make up 30% of commercial gaming revenue last year. 30%. And that is up 25% from 2023. And then also 13% higher than 2021. That made no sense.
Yo, the mic tip.
Oh, I guess it went... At first, people were... My tip to you was people, I guess, didn't know about it quite yet. In 2020, during COVID. Then in 2021, they discovered it, so it jumped up 30%. Then jumped up 25%, even higher, 2 years ago. And now it takes up 30% of all the legal online sports betting. Yes. As was written by MorningBrew.com, and they've got a lovely podcast that is hosted by Gen Zers, who like to talk... so robotically. I don't get it. So they wrote an article, sports book. They sound like AI. No wonder. I don't think they're AI. I think they're real people. But Gen Zers, a lot of them, they don't have the right. They don't talk conversationally. They try to hit every word and every syllable when they are reading a story.
Wow shuts wow.
Wow shuts wow. And that's what my mom called me with shuts. So wow, wow, wow. But sports books were once exclusively the physical location and the only place to put some money down on a game or a fight. But as online sports books have proliferated following a 2018 Supreme Court decision that paved the way for states to lift their prohibitions on sports betting, besides Nevada and three other states. I know it should be Nevada, but there's a friend of mine named Nevada. And three other states where it already was legal. Brick and mortar options have felt the impact. A number of sports books, locations, venues across the country have closed recently. PHX Arena was what I wanted to say earlier. That's one of the places, as well as Churchill Downs, Audi Field, and Progressive Field. Cordish Gaming's president, Rob Norton, said that in-person sports betting revenue at the company's Maryland Live Casino.
The Newsbleed section.
In this interesting bit of Newsbleed section part of the show. He had said, Rob Norton, he's got Maryland's Live exclamation point casino. Their revenue had plummeted 65% since online gaming launched back in November, 3 years ago. And it's not just America. Sweden's only remaining brick-and-mortar casino called Casino Cosmopol, that's going to close next year, citing a rise in online gambling and sports betting. There were once four government-run casinos in Sweden, dating back all the way to 1999. Dun, 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 dun. You know that Phil Collins, he got sued for, quote, plagiarizing that song, 1999, with the song Susudio. They both had the dun, 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 dun.
The Micropedia Insanica.
And that's what we read here in the Micropedia Insanica. It is so Insanica. But one other interesting thing to tell you about is the best movie promotion ever was for The Long Walk recently, the new Stephen King movie adaptation. Held a screening. This was exactly a month ago, actually. They held a screening in which viewers walked on treadmills. And if they got tired, they had to leave. So you could only watch the movie as long as you kept walking on the treadmill. There's some calories you're burning. That's a good thing. Maybe I should try that. The plot of this dystopian thriller. However, let me just stop real quick and say any treadmills, any of those Peloton things, anywhere you're walking in place or running in place, that bugs me. Because it seems like a lot of
Matthew's news.
My news to you is that it seems like that is a lot of energy that's being burnt by this machine. And yes, you're burning energy, but wouldn't it be better if you were like forcing this thing to move? And then the energy you were creating was going towards something. Ed Begley Jr., he used to have this show about how his show, his house was so environmentally sound. And he's very environmental. He was one of the first people, celebrities, to have an electric car. I used to see him. If you were anywhere in Studio City, my dad lived in Studio City. But if you were anywhere around that town, you would run into him at some point. He'd be down at the post office or whatever. We used to see him around down there, even at the farmer's market that they have down there. But that's right. He would go up to Ventura, too. Ventura had the art walk or, no, the street walk.
Nightmare of a show.
Street fair. No, it was not a nightmare of a show. It was a wonderful time. Their big downtown street fair. And he was there because they were having an environmental car show. So cars that ran on electricity or were running on biofuel, like fry oil that had been turned into diesel, biodiesel, as the Germans say, biodiesel, and other environmentally friendly cars. And I remember I wanted to talk to him, and his daughter was next to him. And I go, oh, Mr. Begley Jr., I really loved you in that movie. I forget what movie it was. Oh, A Mighty Wind, I think I pointed out. Hey, you were really funny in that. He goes, oh, that's great. Here's my daughter. Talk to her. And he walked away, and he was talking to the owners of the cars and asking them all about what they were doing with their vehicles. So he I don't know if he ever came up with an invention. I know there was one thing he did where he would get on a
bike. First of all, I just want to just thank everyone for joining us here on this show. This is great.
It is great because we're learning things about Ed Begley Jr. and how he would get on his bike in his kitchen and he would ride the bike, pedal as fast as he could. People don't even pedal bikes anymore. All these kids today on their electric bikes zooming by on the sidewalk. That is so dangerous. In a recent podcast, we covered how many deaths have been attributed to that. Yes, actual deaths, fatalities, because of all these electrified bikes and scooters. And not necessarily them hitting other people, but them getting into accidents with cars and other accidents. It's something, it's the most unreported on thing. It is a big story that more focus should be put on. But so what Ed Begley Jr. would do is ride the bike. It had a generator that he was attached to with the pedaling. And it would, he said, I'm going to toast some toast. So he would do that and it would toast the toast for him as he was riding this bike. So he would burn calories, get his exercise, and in the process, toast toast. Toast.
Wine.
Well, I like
the whiny white man wine list.
Did I get all my whining out of the way? Whining about kids on electric scooters and bikes zooming by. That was, I wanted to get that out of the way. And how people shouldn't be working out in gyms. Like all those machines that they're walking and running on, those should be powering things. Those should be attached to the grid. The energy that they're creating, all the, I don't know, what do you call it? The walking that they're doing on the treadmill that they're pushing with their walking, with their exercising. So they're burning calories and then they could be creating electricity if those things, those treadmills were attached to some kind of generator. I don't know how it would work. I'm not an engineer, Jim. We got Rocky the Cat now on camera. This is awesome. But if you are listening to this podcast, which you are, if I doubt you're watching the video at all, but you can if you go to mikesdailypodcast.com. But yeah, he just made a little visit. So I have a cat on my lap. Now I'm calming down quite a bit. It's awesome. But the plot of this dystopian thriller with Stephen King that he wrote, I mean, which has been turned into a movie, is 50 teen boys have been chosen to take part in a grim walking contest. If they walk slower than 3 miles per hour, they are shot dead. Ooh, the last man standing wins. The long walk is what it is called. And supposedly, in a news story I found here from the fine people at Collider, and I think being on this website is what crashed my computer earlier. Let's see. In its third week of release, The Long Walk has recovered its reported budget of $20 million and has overtaken two of the most notable King adaptations of all time. What's the cliche of the week? Horror movies, I think, is a cliche. What's the cliche of the week? So many horror movies got big. What's the cliche of the week? This year, like Weapons. But let's see. While audiences look forward to the re-release of The Life of Chuck, which didn't quite take off the first time round, they can enjoy the movie The Long Walk. I guess that Life of Chuck movie was also connected to Stephen King. But The Long Walk is one of the best reviewed King adaptations ever, which is saying something considering there have been over 100 adaptations of Stephen King novels and books and short stories, etc. With around $35 million at the global box office, The Long Walk has passed the $28 million lifetime goal, global haul of The Shawshank Redemption. Yes, that's another one of his, which is widely regarded as the finest King adaptation of all time and one of the greatest movies ever made. I know so many people that quote from that movie. They go, oh, have you seen The Shawshank Redemption? Oh, that's such a great movie. Oh, it had infamously underwhelmed when it was first released in the theaters following, let's see, in 1994 when it was released. Although it received plenty of critical acclaim, it witnessed a resurgence on home video first on VHS, yes, before the DVDs. And then as a perennial cable favorite, it remains beloved among audiences worldwide. But then let's see. Frank Darabont directed that, Shawshank Redemption. And then he also adapted The Green Mile and The Mist. But The Long Walk is set in a totalitarian alternate reality where 100 boys are made to participate in a deadly annual contest. So that movie so far has an 88% score on Rotten Tomatoes. And as of, I guess, this writing, Shawshank Redemption beats it by 1% at 89%. So fascinating. And then the one last thing there to bring you is, if you were wondering, Spotify, the most streamed song ever on Spotify. What is it? Is it something you don't know? No, you probably know this song because you've heard it probably at some point. It's been played over and over again, and it's been around a while. Blinding Lights by Weekend. Didn't he host the Super Bowl? That was another thing, was we were discussing Super Bowl performers, and Kendrick Lamar, we got Bad Bunny next year, and I was just trying to think of people that have, well, it seems that if you're going to do the halftime show during the Super Bowl, you got to be like spectacle. You got to be bigger than life. You got to be a performer, and it's got to be a show that's bigger than anything. So I don't know how that has changed over the years. If they're just looking specifically for performers that can do that, but that anyway, Blinding Lights is the most streamed song ever on Spotify. It hit officially 5 billion streams on Spotify. At number two, I don't think this guy's ever done the Super Bowl, Edward Sheeran. And I don't know if he could do the whole spectacle thing, because, I mean, he's got that one dancey song, Shape of You. He's got that cool song, Castle on the Hill.
Oh, my gosh.
The bottom of the chart.
Yeah.
Pretty good. That song that never made it on the radio because people didn't think they were worth it. But you know what? They come back up and people start playing them. And it's like, oh, where'd that come from?
Exactly. I don't know if Castle on the Hill was at the bottom of the charts. It definitely still gets played. I think it may have hit number one on, like, let's say, the adult alternative chart. And then I've got a cat tail in the video, just letting you know. So you better run to mikesdailypodcast.com to see this video because it's awesome. Oh, although it'll be deleted in 6 weeks because that's what twitch.tv does. Other bottom of the charts songs. It is interesting that someone that you don't hear too much about these days, Martin Page. Oh, by the way, Edward Sheeran's Shape of You, which is one of his more upbeat songs, that's at number two. Number one is Blinding Lights. Okay. Martin Page had a song called In the House of Stone and Light. It wasn't a number one hit, but it got a lot of airplay in the early 90s. It was played on what they called adult contemporary stations. So, and it would cross over onto pop stations. So you heard it quite a bit if you were alive in the early 90s. You still sometimes hear it when you're waiting in your dentist office, or actually in the dentist office getting work done, getting that molar pulled. But it is also interesting that Martin Page wrote other big songs like These Dreams with Bernie Taupin, who wrote all those songs for Elton John, co-wrote, well, he wrote the lyrics and then Elton wrote the music. But Martin Page wrote These Dreams with Bernie Taupin, and also a song I heard today. But before I get to that song, because I'm not accessing it at the moment with my brain at the moment. Dang, where'd it go? But it was, he was with the band called Q-Feel. That's how he first got popular, came to the United States because he's from England. because of the band Q Feel that had the song Dancing in Heaven. I never thought I'd ever get my feet this far. Orbital Bebop. Orbital Bebop. Dancing in Heaven. It was this big dance song. You still hear it. Early 80s. It was considered alternative, but lots of synthesizers, new wave, that kind of thing. So you'll still hear it with those retro stations. And they, so maybe that was at the bottom of the charts. I don't know how high up onto the charts it got. The other song that Martin Page wrote that was an enormous hit. We built this city on rock and roll. Starship. 1985. He wrote that, I think, with Bernie Taupin. And then he also wrote the big song for... Oh, he plays the keyboards on Ghostbusters. That's Martin Page. Oh, Go West. That's right, Go West. I am the king of wishful thinking. He wrote that. That was featured in the movie Pretty Woman. And then he also wrote their big... second song that was a big hit for Go West called Faithful. I will be faithful to my lover's prayer, faithful, and I don't care if the world around us gives up on love, I will make you see. Oh, and he co-produced Paul Young's 1990 album Other Voices. That album, Paul Young covered the song Oh Girl, I'll Be in Trouble If You Left Me Now. Martin Page, bottom of the charts. You're welcome for that little trip down memory lane. Look who is here.
Hello, my friends. It's Shelly Schuhart, Gift Sauce Revisor. All that music and all that talk about CDs and DVDs and VHS. Mike Matthews, that's funny. What are those?
Those are ways we used to listen to. We call it physical media. None of that exists now. Well, I guess you could go to a thrift store and maybe find some DVDs or go on eBay and find some, maybe even on Amazon or other websites that carry that kind of thing. If you're watching the video, mikesdailypodcast.com, there's a bunch of CDs right here. I'm next to a wall of CDs, which you should never have your wall of CDs outside a cafe anyway. What am I doing? Look who else is here.
Hello, Mike. This is Floyd the Floor Man.
And this is John Deere the Engineer. Yes, VHS was fascinating, but Beta was better.
Yes, for whatever reason, I know there's a documentary about why, but Beta should have actually been the tape of choice versus VHS. It was a more compact, better running system. And my mom actually owned a video store, just as the whole video craze, video renting craze took off. This is 1985, about the time, no, wait, 84. So just before These Dreams and We Built the City on Rock and Roll came out. But she rented out both VHS and Beta machines and rented both VHS and Beta tapes. But it didn't take long till she got rid of all of her Beta tapes because people were not interested. They weren't renting. And she stuck with the VHS. But that's fascinating. What do you think about all this stuff? Here's the number to call.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
Will you shut up? Liberty Nation, freedom, foam for all.
And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame and maybe hear one little bit of good, insightful, common sense wisdom about how you can't win it all and maybe... when you don't win, you learn a lot about when you lose, you learn more about how to win next time is what I'm saying. Take it away, politician guy.
And look, my high school students know this and my players knew this. You play hard. The other team plays hard. And after the game, if you lose, you walk across and shake hands and congratulate the other team. That's the way it works. In politics, you take it another step forward. You walk across and congratulate the winner, and then you pledge to do all you can to help them succeed, because that's good for America.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at
mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com. See you tomorrow. Bye.